mean, see, the thing is that our whole Western society is set up to encourage us to seek happiness. But, say, what's wrong with that? But happiness is one of those things that cannot be attained by seeking it for itself. The only way to get happiness is by seeking something else.
Welcome to the God-Centered Life with Josh Moody. Our series is called Steps to Blessing. We're on step number 4, which we're calling Desire. Taking a look at the 6th verse of Matthew chapter 5. Josh Moody is senior pastor of College Church, which is located in Wheaton, Illinois. Thanks for joining us for our study today. Josh, our opener sounds, frankly, like a riddle from Yoda. To find happiness, seek it, you must not.
Yeah.
And yet there's a good bit of that in the Bible, and especially in the Beatitudes, that ironic matching of pursuit versus goal and what the reward is.
Seems quite counterintuitive often, doesn't it, these Beatitudes?
Jesus was using that as a teaching tool because, I mean,
there's a surprise to it. He wants to catch our attention, and there's a foundational spiritual lesson that is embedded throughout these Beatitudes about the very nature of the gospel.
Let's take a look at the 6th verse of Matthew chapter 5. Here's Josh.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I can't get no satisfaction. Also, Mick Jagger said, and who can blame him with the 1970s hairstyle that he was wearing at the time when he sang it. That tune, that theme, I can't get no satisfaction. For so many of us today in the world, it is sex where we're seeking some sort of completion of desire. But of course, what our culture has forgotten, unlike older and wiser generations, is that sex is not like an itch that when you scratch, it stops itching. It is like a spark in a tinder dry hardwood forest that just keeps on burning and burning, higher and higher. Just like our society's statistics for single parents, abuse, or any number of those kind of things. Sometimes I ask myself, can we really complain at the high rate of teenage pregnancies and at the same time show scenes in PG-13s that would have blushed our certificates not that long ago? What are we thinking? Are we surprised that there is rape and violence, date rape drugs and child abuse when we show constant sexual behavior? And you have to have a kind of perfectly blemish-free language in our politically correct environment at work, but on cable you can show whatever. I'm just trying to make a point that we are hungering and thirsting for the wrong things. But the real trouble, though, is deeper than this current cultural malaise. There are other symptoms of the same thing, actually. We could be hungering for prestige or greatness, whatever that may mean to you. We could be thirsting for just an easy life and a peaceful time. We could be hungering and thirsting for being liked by other people. And every time we see a frown, we think, did I do something wrong? Or respected by other people and looking for that word, saying, oh, well, he's a go-to guy. I want to be like him. Longing to hear that. Any number of different things. They're all symptoms of the same deeper problem, because the root is, the real trouble is, that we, you and I, are seeking happiness. You may say, what's wrong with that? Well, you see, the thing is that our whole Western society is set up to encourage us to seek happiness. But, you say, what's wrong with that? But happiness is one of those things that cannot be attained by seeking it for itself. Obviously, to be happy is a wonderful thing, right? But the only way to get happiness is by seeking something else. It's like if you're on your first date and you go up to the person you're on your first date with, and you look across the table and you just say, well, the reason why I'm here is because I want to get married and have babies. Well, getting married and having babies is a pretty good thing, but it's just an expression of a relationship, isn't it? What you need to seek is the relationship. You need to seek the person. You make the same kind of mistake, even religious or Christian circles. You can seek an experience. We can seek blessing, but not seek righteousness. But you see, what this beatitude is telling us is that the only way to really get satisfaction or filling is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So then I suppose the first question to ask is this: what are we desiring? And we've got to ask that before we really try and analyze the text. We have to ask, what are we actually desiring? And in the words of Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? You know, what's really going on? Are you satisfied? Are we filled? What is the desire of our lives? What are we hungering and thirsting after? And you see, until we're pretty clear on that, we're not going to be able to kind of come to these words of Jesus and orientate our lives around what Jesus suggests is the path to blessing until we know what we really are hungering and thirsting for. I've never actually come across someone who just says to me face to face, well, I'm really just seeking selfish ambition. That's what my life is about. I'm seeking selfish ambition. Because in real life, people are more complex than that, aren't they? We're too subtle. Why does someone go into medicine to be a doctor? I mean, what's really going on there? Is the person seeking to do good? Are they there because they like to help people? Is this it? Are they there because their parents want them to have a respectable career and this seemed like a good one? Are they there because that was what they turned out as actually being good at? What's really going on? It's hard to figure it out. Are they there because it's respectable and seemingly basically moral and so quite a good option as a Christian in some way or other? You know, a lot of us Christians are into social action these days, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's lots right with it. But are we into social action? Because, well, it's just less offensive to say to people that we're trying to feed the poor or build houses for the homeless or something than to say, actually, I'm giving my life to tell people about Jesus because he's the only way to the Father. It's just much easier to be into social action these days than to be into evangelism, isn't it? You know, if you really want to get radical, don't try and save the earth. Try and save a soul. Our desires are all mixed up, aren't they, yours and mine? Or why are you avoiding someone in your life? What's really going on? Is it because you don't like X or Y that's going on with them? Or is it that actually that they're good at A to Z and you kind of feel jealous? And it affects you and what you're hungering and thirsting for. Yes, all our desires and hungering and thirstings are complex at times. No one knows the heart but the Lord, the Bible tells us. But the Lord searches it out. And so there is here, in a sense, one way to begin to sort of figure it out. And it's given us in this text, for they will be filled. So let me put it like this. Worldly hungerings are never satisfied. Spiritual hungerings meet the expectations. There is a deep satisfaction that is granted to those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And so the question is, are we experiencing that satisfaction? And if we are not, could it be because righteousness is not what we are really hungering and thirsting for? Now there is, as we saw last week, a future tense to this verse. It is will, not our satisfied. It's future, not just present. So even here now, we have some sense of the fall of our failings and all that. So don't be overly critical of yourselves, but the person nonetheless who has a hunger and a thirst for righteousness has some little bit, at least even now, of that fulfillment to come, a joy that arises out of that realization. This blessing is theirs. The blessing is now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. There is this sense now of satisfaction, of joy, of blessing that comes from hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And so it's a really good diagnostic, isn't it, to figure out where our heart is. Are we experiencing that or not? And if we do not have that blessing, then we need to ask what we are actually hungering for. And you see, it is surprisingly rare, even in church circles, to actually hunger after righteousness. Might seek position, or influence, or evangelism, or service. Piety, the seeking after God and Christ-likeness, well, that is relatively rare.
A different take on desire in just a moment, but first, a quick break to let you know that you're listening to The God-Centered Life. It's the teaching ministry of Josh Moody. Josh is senior pastor of College Church, which is located in Wheaton, Illinois, about 30 miles west of the city of Chicago. If your holiday travels have you coming by Wheaton, we'd love to host you for a worship service. Right now, though, back into our study called Desire. Here's Josh.
Well, second, so we need then to be challenged to have our desires in the right place. But second, there are also those whose desires seem to be sort of very little, at least outside of themselves. The people who desire nothing but me, as it were. There's this new book that's come out quite recently called Generation Me, explaining how, in the view of the author, we as a generation, and by that I mean anyone born after 1970, so I don't quite squeeze in, but hey, I'm just going to because I need to feel young this evening. Anyone after 1970 is characterized by the incessant self-esteem movement that the author roundly criticized in her book, Generation Me. And if she's right, and she may or may not be, but if she's right, then we as a generation are even more concerned with me, capital M, and what we can get out of life as individuals than anything else. And that's quite a criticism, isn't it, of all those of us. We, as it were, are not hungering and thirsting for anything, for we are sure that, you know, anything is possible, that you can do anything you like, and all this other sky's the limit kind of self-esteem mantra of our time. We're just into me, she says, as it were. And so, look at it like this. How does being plugged into my world and my space and YouTube, or is it MeTube, affect your view of reality? What's it like to be kind of hermetically sealed from the universe with iPod, you know? Irony of ironies, in fact, self-esteem is not achieved by focus on the self. The me is not filled that way. The only way to get self-esteem is to look elsewhere, to look to the other in care and appreciation, and so begin to esteem yourself for what you can give, not what you can get. Reality, that actually you can't always be whoever you want to be or do whatever you want to do, that not everyone gets a grade A, that these things, when rightly embraced and realized, actually, far from damaging our sense of self, actually enhance. And so there's that sense of this thing that we need to kind of diagnose as well in our contemporary time, isn't there? And again, as Dr. Phil would ask, how's that working for you? Does this narcissism really help? Am I satisfied? Or am I left with a constant craving for more and more of me? And I can't get no satisfaction, as it were. Well, third, and I think we've seen how these other ways don't work. And so the third, then, we have Jesus' recipe for a satisfied or full or fulfilled life, and that is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, I want you to notice several parts of that phrase, hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want you to notice the word that comes right before it, blessed. I want you to notice the blessing. He does not come to harm. He comes to heal. Just have to touch him and he'll heal. He does not come to be a party pooper, but to give life and life to the full. And this is the next step of blessing. First, you realize who you really are as a sinner before God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Then you repent of that. Blessed are those who mourn. And you turn from it and you begin to have that attitude towards God of humility and therefore of meekness towards each other. Blessed are the meek. And you have the kingdom of heaven. You have comfort. You inherit the earth. And now you begin to hunger and thirst. And it is in this process, this spiritual process, this blessing process that Jesus is outlining here for our blessing. It is in this process, this gospel process, simply of repentance and faith. That's really all it is. It's in that process that we find blessing for our souls and for our lives. Not in me. Not in all the thrills of our day and age. But I also want you to notice the passion of the language that Jesus uses. Hunger and thirst. Now, if you're someone who's ever doubted whether you're really a Christian, you should be encouraged by this beatitude, very much indeed, this blessing. Do you worry about whether you're really a Christian or not? Do you seek forgiveness constantly? Do you long to be righteous before God? Are you hungry and thirsty? I've seen many things in my time, but I've never yet met a non-Christian who worried about whether they were really a Christian. You're hungry and thirsty. Be encouraged. I also want you to see how intense it is. Jesus does not say, anyone who kind of wants righteousness or has a mild interest in it, who has a little hobby they squeeze in the margins. You know, I guess most of us have never really been hungry and have never really been thirsty. And so we cannot imagine the kind of famine or the parched lips of a man walking in from the desert. It's the kind of thing that Jesus has on his mind in that time and that age. Hunger. Thirst. And you see, if you're looking for blessing, this is telling us we need to start panting, start thirsting, start crying out, start staying up late and getting up early and wearing out the knees on your pant legs with prayer. Hunger and thirst. It's a passionate, intense thing. I want you to notice what it is that is being hungered and thirsted for, and it is for righteousness. Now you say, what is this righteousness? It is both the righteousness that comes by faith alone. Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart, please save me. It is both that, both the righteousness that comes by faith alone and the righteousness that is gradual, that we call sanctification. That gradual step-by-step process. Lord, I'm a Christian, I'm following you. I want to be a bit more holy. I want to improve this. I want to learn how to study my Bible. I want to learn how to pray. I want to learn how to forgive. That gradual process. It is both those things that we are to long after. It is both entrance into the Christian life for the first time, whereby we receive the gift of righteousness by faith, we are saved, and also the carrying on with the Christian life, whereby we gradually get more holy or sanctified by faith. It is both those kinds of righteousness. And then, when I really want that, when I really get that, and this is what I really want you to see, is the fulfillment. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Actually, the word for filled here originally came from the word for feeding cattle. By this stage, it had become a common word for eating and being sort of filled to the brim. It might be a bit like saying something like this today. You've had a belly full of eating at the trough. Or something like that, perhaps. You are filled to the brim. You are satisfied and satiated. It's overflowing. I want you to see that that is what is on offer. All those desires, all that can't get no satisfaction. We are a country and a culture that is hungering and thirsting. You doubt about that? Just look at the size of restaurant portions. Hunger, thirst. The constant search for the perfect wife and the perfect home and the perfect husband with the perfect life and the perfect house who had the perfect Christmas with the perfect Santa Claus until there was a perfectly horrible accident and only one of them survived, which must have been the perfect wife, for we all know that Santa Claus and perfect husbands do not exist. Or perhaps it's the other way around. That search for excellence, perfection, but only the search for righteousness is fulfilling. I want you to take all of our ambitions and plans this evening and to lay them at the feet of Jesus. I want you to think of your goals and your desires this evening to be this or that person, that great person, that whatever it is, that rich person, that happy person, and instead say, I want to be holy. If you're not a Christian, I want you to make that the number one priority of your life, to become a Christian, to find true righteousness. I mean, a real one. Do you have any sense of what it means to be satisfied like that? To find true righteousness. In other words, to get out of the constant drag of trying to do good and finding that no one is perfect, and then the guilt, and then the saying sorry, but still feeling guilty. And I want you to find the gift of righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus and experience that and be set free, therefore, to search for righteousness in freedom and joy so that you will be then filled, satisfied, complete yet more. We have sung our songs of victory. We have prayed to you for rain. We have cried for your compassion to renew the land again. Now we're standing in your presence more hungry than before. Now we're on your steps of mercy and we're knocking at your door, as one Stuart Townend song has it, hungering and thirsting. So, you know, as we get to the end of this evening, just what I want you to do is, as it were, to get inside the picture that Jesus is painting. Imagine a really juicy hamburger. It's been perfectly cooked. You've been out all morning working hard on some stuff in the yard. You've been playing a game of touch football. And you're ready to eat, you know? You could eat a horse, right? Your stomach is rumbling. You can smell it cooking. Those lettuce and tomato and all the fixings, right? You're hungry. You've been running a mile in record time. This is the last of a series of runs you're doing. You haven't drunk and your fluids are down. Your tongue is kind of stuck to the roof of your mouth, you know? And your lips have that parched feeling. And there's a cool water drinking fountain in front of you. And there's a line. And you're thirsty. We long to be happy. We long to be successful. We long to have significance. This beatitude is in many ways the most significant of them all, you know, for it points in a new direction and shows us that the way to achieve those things is not by seeking them directly, strange though it is to say, but actually by seeking instead righteousness. And so will come the day when, Revelation 7, verse 14, when they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So I tell you, hunger, thirst, seek that righteousness. And that's how you're going to get some satisfaction.
That's Josh Moody, and this is The God-Centered Life. Josh, what might be a few practical steps to increasing our hunger and thirst?
I'll tell you one very brief way to do that in my own personal experience. When I was a missionary, I lived, obviously, abroad for a little while, and I found that engaged over there with church, but in a different language, came back home, went to an evening service of, you know, weren't many people there, just a small evening service, and I was around God's people, and the word was being preached in my own language. And in an unexpected way for me, I was just overwhelmed with the wonder. I was led to tears that I could actually hear God's word in my own language. So I think part of our challenge is we're so surrounded, particularly in America, less true in other parts of the world, but particularly in America, we're so surrounded by teaching and churches that we just take it for granted. And so put yourself imaginatively, if not actually, in the situation of that person who hasn't been able to get to church.
And be intentional about the input.
Yeah.
As opposed to just passively taking in Bible study material.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. All right. We'll continue with our Beatitude study when we get together next time. GodCenteredLife.org, our website with resources for you. When we get together next time, forgive to be forgiven.
The question of justice is, what is fair? The question of mercy is, what have I been forgiven? How much is that? Therefore, I can forgive anyone, anything. mercy is the opposite of justice.
We'll continue to work our way through this portion of the book of Matthew when we get together next time. GodCenteredLife.org. There's resources for you, including past installments in this study. And we'd love to have you join us next time right here for the God-Centered Life with Josh Moody.